Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, I command the blessing to fall upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Make parabashandiribalos. Lorandiribasubala karyanda. I love what David said. He said, surely. Surely means kanid. Strubob. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. All, not some. All the days of my life. May that be your portion. In the name of Jesus. May that be your portion. Goodness and mercy. The fullness of God's goodness, may it follow you all the days of your life. In your family, may it follow you. At your workplace, may it follow you. Ah, at your school, may it follow you. Everywhere you go, when you look around, may you see goodness. When you look around, may you see the mercies of the living God. In Jesus' name. Goodness and mercies will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. And you see, David said, goodness and mercy will follow him. Then he said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, even though goodness and mercy were around him, he never lost focus of his God. Some people, when they start enjoying goodness and mercy, they forget the person who told goodness and mercy, be around him, be around her, follow him wherever he's going, follow her. Then they forget. Are you listening to me? You will be blessed whether you like it or not, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, for a very short time today, I want to preach on a message I have entitled The Origins of Tithes. The Origins of Tithes or Tithing. Come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew, chapter 19. We can pick it up from verse 1. Matthew chapter 19, we are reading from verse 1. Are we there? And it came to pass, I still hear some Bibles turning. Matthew chapter 19, we are reading from verse 1. Are we there? And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. Someone say, tempting him. In other words, they were trying to trick him. Do you understand? They were trying to cause him to trip on his own words. Tempting him. And saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, someone say at the beginning. I'll read verse 4 again. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Someone say, from the beginning. From the beginning. Put your hands together for the word of God. Now, sometimes when you are going through life, there are some difficulties that you can never solve until you go to the beginning. Someone say the beginning. There are some questions that can never be answered until you learn to go to the beginning. Whenever I'm faced with a situation where I'm counseling a couple, for instance, I'm always trying to look for the source of the problem. Once you can find the source, where is this problem coming from? Then half the job is done. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to advise the people until you know that this is the source, the beginning, the origins of a problem. Am I talking to somebody? For instance, one of the reasons why many people have sour marriages. Sour. Do you understand? Sour. It's not nice. It's not sweet. It's not beautiful. Even though, you know, when you see them in pictures, the way they pose, you are like, wow, happy couple. But when they go home, there's no happiness at all. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Hallelujah. That's why I'm no longer moved. But you see, me, my wife and I, we don't try to dress the same. We don't even try it. If it ever happens, it was by chance. Because you see, you see them taking photos, matching outfits. You will see them. Then when you get home, you will swear that is World War II, World War I, all of the world wars combined in one house. Even the children now are used to the fighting. Hey, Batomil. One of the reasons why people don't enjoy their marriages is because at the beginning, the foundation of the relationship was wrong. And because they started wrong, it can never be sweet. Sometimes they have to go back to the beginning and check where they, because there are people who their only cry is to have a child. If I can only have a child. So they get into a relationship with someone not because they are in love, but because the intention is a child. Now, after they've gotten married and the child has come, the marriage is finished because the purpose of the marriage was the child. It's completely finished. So you realize that the source, the beginning of the thing, is what now is causing the problem. Am I talking to somebody? Eesh. Other people get into relationships because they are seeing six packs. Dark and with the velvet voice. Some people are looking, you know, at the way somebody walks, the way somebody dresses, the way somebody smells. When they see these things, they are moved. They can't handle themselves anymore. You realize that the beginning is wrong. It's wrong. And so as they begin and continue this relationship, it is problems after problems after problems. Because they are not coming together because of where they are going. They are coming together because of how they each look. Now, over time, when you are married, everything changes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Everything changes. We are aging. Nobody is staying the same age. All of us are aging. So you see a married person now starting to look at young children. Someone said the beginnings. There's something wrong there. So if we can go back and have a look at the beginning, sometimes you'll find a lot of answers to your problems. If you can do that exercise. Am I talking to somebody? So today, for a very short time, I want us to go to the beginning when the Bible began to talk about tithing. Hallelujah. So come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 14. And we are going to read from verse 18. Genesis chapter 14. We'll be reading from verse 18. Are we there? I think I've already given you wisdom. Someone has already helped today. You know, I always feel for the young people because their main pastor is television and music. Snoop Dogg is their pastor, and who else? Kanye West. Young people, why do you act like you don't know what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you just have to see by the way they talk. Young man, you realize that. Where are they getting that way of talking? And you look at the way they dress. Why can't they dress normally? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's because they are following their pastors. Their television pastors. Hey! Those pastors will never ever lead you to a proper marriage. Most of them are divorcing. About 5 times in 10 years they are divorcing. Forever divorcing. Today you know they are getting married. You blink your eyes, they are divorcing. And that is your pastor, your role model. Hello? You know, I'm talking about tithes, but I'm also talking about what I'm talking about. Because I'm helping someone. Hallelujah. So, be wise. Let me tell you the best way of finding a life partner. Did you understand me saying life partner? Someone who you'll spend the rest of your life with. You first must know where you are going. It's very important. If you don't know where you are going, any fool who comes close to you, you fall in love. Even though the person is a destiny killer, killing your future. I once was talking to some people, and you know, there were rumors in the church. So I called them. I said, there's rumors in the church. Is it true? They said, pastor, it's true. I said, yeah. What a shock. And I asked, how old are you? How old are you? They told me. These were high school people. And I said to them, I want you to, do you understand? I want you to. Then the guy said to me, oh, pastor, but I'm in love. Pastor, but I'm in love. I said, okay, I know you're in love, but just listen, I'm your pastor. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Do you know they left the church? Both of them left the church because they were in love. As we speak now, the other one is dead, the other one is dead. There's no togetherness at all, but they were in love. Because most of us, we don't look at where we are going. In life, Satan is after where you are going. Satan doesn't wait for you to get where you are going before he starts attacking you. When he notices that you are going somewhere, you are a target. The minute he notices that you are going somewhere, that God has an agenda with you, that God has a plan with you, you become a target. I mean, what had Jesus done when he was just being born? That kings were trying to kill him. What had Moses done? That kings were looking for him, killing thousands of children, looking for that one person. It's because of the future that they could sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the greatest advisor when it comes to life partners is, where are you going? The person who's coming close to me, can they go with me where I'm going? One woman said, Lord, help me to preach. One woman said that God told him to marry an unbeliever. Or God told her to marry an unbeliever. When I heard the story, I said, No. Do you know what the Bible says? You shall not be equally yoked with an unbeliever. It's in black and white in the Bible. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Then someone will say that God said. God and his word can never be separated. The Bible says, I have exalted my word above my name. You can't, when you go away from the word of God, you are going away from God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. They have never been separated, ever. Ever. So now this woman, she was suffering. When she thinks she's going to church, the husband says, Wagai. And Gary said, you are marrying an unbeliever. Now deal with it. I don't know why I'm saying the things I'm saying. Hallelujah. Some wisdom nuggets for today. Hallelujah. So make sure that in the beginning of everything you are doing, make sure that the foundations are correct. If you are starting a business, make sure that you start it correct. Don't go and bribe and corrupt and steal to start a business. The foundation is wrong. It may work for in the beginning, but it will never last if the foundation is wrong. Anything you do, if you go through school and you are ever copying and you are ever cheating, I'm telling you, you will never go very far, because the foundation is wrong. Many years ago, when my mother was working, she was working with this other lady. If I remember correctly, they were friends. I still remember her name. I just don't want to say it because we record our messages, and you never know who's listening. And one day my mother told me that the lady ran away. I said, ran away? What do you mean ran away? So apparently she forged her matric certificate. She forged it. She never finished matric. Then she made a way to have a matric certificate. And she worked for years. She was working, but sooner or later, it will catch up with you. So make sure that everything you do, from its foundations, from the beginning, it is correct. Because if you do it correct from the beginning, then you are inviting the help of God. If you don't do it correctly from the beginning, you are doing it alone. God is not in it. He cannot be in it because the foundations are wrong. Am I talking to somebody? Anything you do in this life, do your best to make sure that it is correct before God's eyes. Sometimes it is so difficult to do things correctly. You know, for example, when you are driving, it's so easy when the police stop you, you just give them 20 rand and say, Uskawara, wait again, take a cold drink. It's easy. But decide to do it correctly. You know, there's a gentleman whom I really love in the Bible, John the Baptist. Do you know why John was killed? Because there was a king who wanted to marry his brother's wife, Herod. He wanted to marry his brother's wife. And not that the brother was dead, he's alive. But wants to take his wife and marry. So John the Baptist said, what you are doing is wrong. That woman's blood began to boil. She began to hate John the Baptist. Why? Because he's telling them the truth. The blood was boiling. And one day, that's why we have to pray for our presidents and whoever. Because they can sell us out. You never know. So one day, Herod was having a party with his friends. And this woman's daughter came to dance. And Herod was so impressed with the dancing, he said to the young girl, what can I do for you? I can give you everything up to half the kingdom. Up to half the kingdom I can give you. Then this young girl went to the mother and said, Mommy, listen to what the king has said. What should I ask for? And the woman said, yes, my chance. Tell the king that I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray. Why? Because he believed in the truth. He stood for the truth. He wanted everything to be done correctly, the right way. It is amazing how even Christians are always forever taking shortcuts. Bribes. Brown envelope. Christian, the whole Christian. They go drinking with people because so that they want business. They don't believe in prayer. El Topalapa, prayer, oh God, bless my business in the name of Jesus. Father, I pull customers from the left, from the right, from the south, from the north. They don't do such things. They don't go on fasting. Oh God, I pull my job in the name of Jesus. Let my CV be anointed. They don't do those things. They believe in brown envelope. No, you know, in these days it's tough. You know, you have to. A Christian is talking. Only about 3.2 people are saying amen. Can I hear a proper amen, please? I'm still preaching. Father, let me go back to my message. So the beginnings are very important. Hallelujah. Now in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, let us read. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And the Bible says, and he gave him tithes of all. Hallelujah. So Abraham is paying tithe to this guy, this gentleman called Melchizedek. Now in all scripture, this is the first time the word tithe is even appearing. Are you listening to me? So this was the first time we ever saw anything like tithe. Are we together? Come to me, come with me to chapter 28, Genesis 28, and verse 20. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20. If you are there, say amen. Thank you, Lord. Mandiriba Shandala Makolo Bosia. Mira Kaparaba Sopriana Raba Shandara Bakura. Rabba da Brato Kuraba Shandiriba Kurabasia. Father, I pray for everybody here whose beginnings are not correct. I ask that your mercies will speak on their behalf. The blood of Jesus Christ will speak. The blood that cries out for mercy, let that blood speak. Let that blood speak today in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church will say amen. Hallelujah. Verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Hallelujah. So this is the second time in scripture that we see someone, this time he hadn't yet paid a tithe, but he's saying, God, if you take care of me, I promise you, anything that you give me, a tenth is 10%, I will give back to you. Are you listening to me? Now, the two scriptures that I read for you are very, very important and very, very significant, because the tithe was truly established by Moses. The Bible talks about something called the law of Moses. So the Bible, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. And so the Jews called those first five books the law of Moses. Are we together? Now, in the book of Exodus, you see, God starts to establish the law. He instructs Moses, I think it's chapter 17 of Exodus. He instructs Moses that start writing everything that I tell you, and later give it to Joshua. That is why Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What book was he talking? The book that Moses had written. Because God had instructed him, write a book and give it to Joshua. Because when God was working with Moses, God was using a stick. To the point that Moses called that stick the stick of God, the rod of God. Because the things that Moses was doing with that stick were amazing. One time God said, beat a stone and water will come out of it. And it happened exactly like that. God said, throw it to the floor. And he threw it to the floor and it turned into a snake. Amazing things. And one time he pointed at the ocean and the ocean split into two. But when Moses passed away, now God was with Joshua. Now God said to Joshua, Mr. Joshua, from now on I don't use sticks. From now on, this book of the law. And God hasn't changed ever since. That's why in this church we are like, the word of God is so important. If you do anything outside the word of God, you are confusing us. We don't know what you are doing. Can I hear a louder amen? So Moses, now God through Moses established the law. And in Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30, go there quickly. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. Quickly, it's the third Bible, the third book in the Bible, Leviticus, chapter 27 and verse 30. Are you there? And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So this is when Moses was establishing the time under the law. Are we together? But the most fascinating thing is that Abraham began tithing and Jacob began tithing before the law was established. It's amazing. Before Moses wrote this book, somebody already was tithing. Somebody already was tithing. Are we together? So, the first thing that we have to understand when we begin to look at the beginning, and the thing that we have to learn is, first and foremost, these two gentlemen, Abraham and Jacob, began tithing before the law. Before the law was even established. Are we together? The second thing that we have to learn, because someone may ask and say, okay, who told you that we must tithe 10%? Why don't we tithe 1% or 2% or 5%? Why 10? Because in the Bible, the word tithe itself means a ten. It means 10%. The word itself that is in the Bible, in the Hebrew, it means a tenth of the part. So if you have 10 marbles, one of them is a tenth of the part. So that's where the 10% come from. Nobody just came and said, which percentage should be? I like 10. Let's do 10, okay? 10 sounds okay. 10 sounds nice. No, it's in the scriptures. Hallelujah. It's not like Texas, you know, Texas. They don't go to parliament to decide how much is tithe. It's in scripture. So that's where the 10% come from. It's not a pastor who just makes up a number whenever he feels like it. It's in scripture. Hallelujah. Someone say a tenth. You saw even Jacob, the Bible says, and Jacob said, he said to God that I will give you a tenth of everything that you give me. Are we still together? Now what can we learn from the fact that these two gentlemen started tithing before the law was established? Come with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. Well, let's start from verse 13. Matthew 16 from verse 13. If you are there, say amen. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now Abraham and Jacob, flesh and blood did not tell them about time. But they had a divine revelation. The Spirit of God made them, before their time, catch the revelation of giving a tenth part of what they have to God. It means that paying tithes is associated with the close and personal relationship with God. You're not listening to what I'm saying. Paying tithes is associated with a close and personal union, relationship with God. People who do not develop a very close walk with God will struggle with paying tithes. They struggle. Because if you look at the beginning, before a book was written, before the law was established, the people already received revelation to say that, hey, we must give a tenth of what we have. Okay, you think I'm joking? Let's go back to Genesis 28. Quickly. From verse 10. Genesis chapter 28 from verse 10. He's coming here to help me preach. Are you there? The Bible says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So after this dramatic encounter with God, he falls asleep and he sees the ladder. The feet of the ladder, if I can call it that, were on the earth, and the top was in the heaven, maybe at the clouds somewhere there. And at the top, Jesus was standing there, and began, and then he saw angels going up and coming down. And then Jesus began to speak to him, and he basically told him the same promise that he had given to Abraham. Afterwards, Jacob wakes up and he says, surely God was here. Now immediately after this experience, the last verse of that chapter, he said, God, anything that you give me, I will give you a tenth. It was because of the revelation that he just experienced. So whenever you go draw closer and closer to God, you can't but not want to give him. You know, I was telling Karabo yesterday that, you see, whenever you enter into the glory and to the presence of God, you wish you could give God even your nails. God, what can I give? You can even take out your nails. God, please take. Because when you are in there, there's nothing more beautiful than it. You can die when you are in there. You can promise to, you can say, God, please, I'm ready to die when you're in that glory. So when Jacob experienced it, he said, a tenth of everything is yours. When Abraham experienced it, a tenth of everything is yours. So tithe is based and dependent on your relationship that you develop with God. If we look at the beginning, under the law, it was instruction. Even if you didn't know God, you didn't like him, but it was an order, it was a law. You must pay tithe. But in the beginning, it was based on relationship. Somebody say relationship. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That's why I read that scripture in Matthew chapter 19. When they were asking Jesus about divorce, I like his answer. He said, let's go to the beginning. What happened in the beginning? They said, God made them two. And he said that these two shall be one. So what God has put together, don't break up. Then they said, he thinks we don't know scripture. But Moses said, then he said, Moses said it, but it was not so in the beginning. So in the beginning, tithe was because you love him. You are in love with him. You want to do anything for him. You want to please him. You want to do anything he wants you to do. You want to walk with him. You never want to be without him. So out of that love, that's why you'll even give him a tenth of everything. If I'm talking to somebody, can I hear a louder amen? Hallelujah. So revelation is very important when it comes to tithe. And revelation only comes when you have a relationship with God. Hallelujah. The second thing that we have to learn here is, who did Abraham give the tithe to? And the Bible says he gave it to a gentleman called Melchizedek. Now this guy is very dangerous. The first thing about him, when they talk about him, the Bible tells us that he's carrying bread and wine. Hey! Jesus has not died. We don't know anything called Holy Communion, but this guy is coming to meet him with bread and with wine. What a guy. And Abraham is the father of faith. But the Bible tells us that the lesser is blessed by the greater. So this guy called Melchizedek, the Bible tells us that he's even greater than Abraham. Somebody say, my God. Come with me to the book of which one should we do? Let's do Psalms. 110, verse 4. The book of Psalms, 110 and verse 4. Are you there? The Lord had sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now God here is talking to Jesus. And God says to Jesus, I swear to you. You know when God swears, the only time that we see God swearing not as in vulgar, but swearing as in, I promise you. By myself, I promise that I will do this for you. The only other time we see it was when he was talking to Abraham. When he told Abraham to kill his son Isaac. And Abraham was about to kill Isaac. Then God said, okay, don't kill the son. Now that I know that you will obey me, I swear by myself that in blessing, I will bless you. Now here he's swearing to the Lord Jesus. And he says, I swear that you will be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here's this guy, Melchizedek. Now, what does all this mean? Under the law, the priests were people from the tribe of Levi. And more specifically, under the family of Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest, and his children became priests. And from lineage, from generation to generation after that, all Aaron's children became priests. We call it the Levitical priesthood, which is under the law. Now, when Jesus came, he came to fulfill the law and to do away with the law. And he gave us a new contract, a new testament. And now, Jesus himself has become the eternal priest, a priest that doesn't die, a priest that lives forever. And so the reason why Melchizedek is coming there with bread and wine is already prophetic. That yes, I'm God's priest, but there's another one who is coming, who is greater than myself. He will be an eternal priest, one who doesn't die. And God says to the Lord that you will be a priest under the order of Melchizedek. Now, the only thing we see Melchizedek doing is receiving tithes. It means that this new priest called Jesus, he still receives tithes like Melchizedek was receiving. Because you see, there are people who, they argue, they say, no, but tithes is Old Testament thing. It's all. Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 6, verse 20, he says that, and you will be a priest under the order of Melchizedek. You see, when we look at the beginning, we get to see very important things there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So now when we give tithes, we are giving directly to our eternal priest. Some people get confused because they are giving it. You see our basket here. We are leaving it here. It looks like we are giving it to pastor. But we are actually giving it to our eternal priest, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the nice thing about this priest, the previous priest under the law, every day they had to make offer sacrifices. If memory serves me right, in the morning they had to kill an animal and make a sacrifice. At night they had to kill an animal and make a sacrifice. But this priest, he made one sacrifice once and for all. And he's alive. And he is seated at the right hand. It means that when you are in trouble, you say, God, remember. He can touch him. He said, remember, I died for him. I died for her. Forever, 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 forever. You know, I was reading John chapter 1 and verse 1 during this week, and it was such a blessing to me. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Beautiful. In the beginning. The word beginning means in the eternal past, in the dateless past, was the Word. In other words, it means that when everything began, the Word was already there. He was alive, he was in existence, was the Word. And the Word was with God. Already there were, you know, when angels were being formed, the Word was. When heaven was being created, the Word was. When the earth was being created, the Word already was. What a blessing. Now this King who's from everlasting to everlasting has become our eternal priest. I don't know what I should say. I'm deviating a little bit. Now, the earth that we are standing on here, are you with me? And everything that you can see is the second time that it's being made. It's the second time. The first time that it was made and created was in the beginning. A timeline that nobody knows and understands. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when God created the earth for the first time, the people who were running this earth were angels. Are you still with me? Angels were administering the presence of God. They were administering, you know, the will of God on the earth. Now, everything was perfect in that world. As perfect as it was, some fool called Lucifer looked at God and said, I can be higher than the Most High. Look at the foolishness. Then the Bible says that when the evil was found in Lucifer, God judged him. And God became so angry that he wiped away the earth, destroyed it completely. We call it the first flood. There was a flood that wiped away the earth. God became so angry that he switched off the light, the sun. He just switched it off. Are you still with me? Then later on, he must have decided, okay, let me try this thing again. But this time, it won't be angels who will be administering my will. This time, it will be men. And it will not just be men, but I will make them in my likeness. And a few days after making men, they fall into sin. He became so angry that he released another flood. This one is called the flood of Noah. But this time around, this gentleman called Noah, after God has judged the earth, after everybody had died, animals had died, plants had died, everything had died, when he comes out of the ark, he collects one of the animals, kills it, and makes a sacrifice to God. God was shocked. He said, but I just killed everything. Who is this one worshiping me here now? And so God comes down. And Noah is already taking one of the animals that are scarce and sacrificing to God. Then God says, okay, Noah, you've touched my heart. For I seek such to worship me. They that worship me in spirit and in truth. And God said, Noah, I promise today, I will never destroy the world with a flood ever again. Ever again. So I watch it. I say, Lord, wait a minute. Let's discuss something here. If angels who lived in a perfect world without sin fell, what will happen in eternity? When we are birthed in a world of sin, all we know is sin. He said, you've got a priest eternal in the heavens who's sitting next to me, forever making intercession for you, for all eternity. I've deviated. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me give you two more points and then we close. Come with me to the book of Romans chapter 4 verse 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Am I talking to somebody? Now, as we're still looking at the beginning, someone say at the beginning, the first person who pays tithes is Abraham. Now, what is Abraham famous for? Let's read verse 3. The Bible says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Hallelujah. So Abraham was known for and famous for his faith. So in other words, a tither is a person of faith. Someone who believes in God. Someone who trusts in God. Someone who relies in God. It's all about faith. Abraham did it out of the faith that he had with God. And the Bible says it was counted unto him as righteousness. He was righteous before God because of his faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Ask your neighbor, say, do you have faith? Ask your neighbor, do you believe in God? So the Bible also tells us that we are the children of Abraham. We're his children. We are the children of faith. That's why when Lazarus died, he went to Abraham's bosom. One man of God, God gave him the privilege to go to heaven. He said, when you go to heaven, the first person you meet there is Abraham. Because even though we are not his children according to the flesh, we are not Jews, but we are his children according to faith. Faith makes us also the children of Abraham. And therefore, the blessings that were only reserved for the Jews are also now for us, because we are his children in faith. And so if we're his children, we must do what our father did. And our father was a tither. Tell him, say, my father was a tither. Am I talking to somebody? Let me give you a scripture so that you know I'm not just talking out of my mind. In Romans chapter 4, verse 11, let's read from verse 11. When you get home, you can read the whole chapter. And also when you get a chance, please read Hebrews chapter 7, the whole chapter. It will give more explanation. Are you in Romans chapter 4, verse 11? The Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. All right? So Abraham was doing a lot of things before the law. This guy was very, very close to God. See, circumcision is a thing of the law. But already, he was doing these things just based on his faith on God. That he might be the father of all them that believe. So that he can be the father of all them that believe. That includes you and me. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, then Abraham is also your father. Hallelujah. Through the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are the children of faith, and we also are Abraham's children. And we see our father, our spiritual father Abraham, giving tithe to Melchizedek, who is a symbol of the coming Messiah, who will be a priest forever. Am I talking to somebody? So this is where all this thing comes from. This is where it comes from. And you can see, based just learning from Abraham's life, that because we love God, because of our relationship with him, we must give a tenth of everything he gives us. Hallelujah. Put your hands to Jesus. Oh, I said to Jesus. Amen. So that is what happened in the beginning. Amen. Let's all rise to our feet and give the Lord the glory. When you go to the beginning, you will learn a lot of things there. Amen. And we can see that tithe began even before the law came. Someone can even say that tithe, when Abraham was practicing tithe, he was already in the New Testament. Are you listening to me? I want you to pray for yourself. Say, God, give me the grace that Abraham had. given the grace that Jacob had. That relationship that will make me want to obey you no matter what. That relationship that puts its trust in you, believes in you, through thick and thin. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and ask it.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.